If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick." Fuck you, Dad!
All right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fuck You, Dad. A very special episode this week. Our guest, you might know him from TV, Bob's Burgers, or movies like The Big Sick. It's Kurt Brownholer, everybody. Kurt,
hello.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I noticed that during the pandemic, you switched hot tub to the Zoom show.
The digital realm.
Realm, exactly. And I was going to ask you about how was your comedy experience during the whole pandemic?
Look, all I can say is we've been doing hot tub for 16 years, 16 and a half
wow.
years at this point, and we didn't stop. That's the most I can say. We didn't stop. We did it every Monday, and it didn't stop.
McDonald's didn't stop either, because it's
stop.
Necessary.
Exactly. Did we improve it? No, we did not improve it. But did it not stop? Yes, it did not stop. That's pretty much all you can say about Zoom shows,
yeah.
I think.
The best thing you can say about Zoom shows is, well, it happened.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
We did it. Make us better? I don't know.
Did anyone enjoy it? I have no idea.
We have people who watch, and they watch religiously. And they always say that they appreciate it because they live in places where they don't get to see a live comedy show. And so that was always very nice. But as from the experience of a performing experience,
yeah, it's very
it is not satisfying. But it is nice to see friends, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's how I feel right. about sometimes live, especially open mics right now, because it's like – It's still rough to go to an open mic, but it's one of the only times that I'm genuinely excited to see some other comedians, you know?
Yeah.
Because of the wear and tear, you get like, oh, here he comes, John, with his one foot joke that's funny. And then, but now it's like, oh, I haven't seen him in a year
right,
and a half.
Yeah,
it's fucking John.
Yeah,
he's got a beard now.
Yeah,
do that joke. Do that joke,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, do the foot joke. Yeah. COVID was so bad, we miss open micers. That's true.
Yeah.
That's a test.
Yeah. No, I just started going back out on the road, and my first weekend was in Portland in May, and it was like everyone in the audience, it was their first time out seeing a show.
That's awesome.
And it was my first time out, and it was awesome. It was like we all rediscovered stand-up comedy together. It was
like
amazing. Right. Yeah, it was really cool.
All the shows that I've done since it's like been fully back have all been, everyone's excited to be out and happy. It's great. And it only means it's going to stop and feel really bad.
I know.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. You know, we could just go right back inside for the Delta variant, you know, and then we'll come out. We'll be so excited. And then the Gamma variant will come.
Yeah. It's like seasons, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just new seasons.
Yeah. It's the new seasons.
It's the new seasons. I mean, the Delta's coming in a lot earlier this year. it's going to be, I keep seeing those news reports and just not thinking about it.
You got to just push it back because, you know,
at this point, literally zombies could be coming. I'm like, well, I don't know.
I got a show next week. I'm sure we'll hold them back at the gates.
Yeah.
No, but I've always wondered what it would feel like to live in Alaska, you know? And now I feel like I understand what it would be like. Like, summertime in Alaska, people must fuck all the time.
They lose their mind.
Going crazy. The sun's up all the time. They've been fucking stuck inside for 8 months. It just must be. So now I kind of have a feeling for what it's like. And it does rid me of my desire to ever live in Alaska.
Oh, right. There you go.
Yeah. The highs are high.
Yeah.
The lows are low. Some of those lows are being eaten alive by a bear. So,
What would you, did you do any like wacky shows other than Zoom? Like, did you do any like, oh, I did a rooftop at a drive-in movie theater kind of thing?
Yeah, I did a rooftop at the Brea Improv, which had like this huge inflatable screen so that like people, there was like 400 cars there. It was insane.
Oh, wow.
And so then you would hear like honking like go back. Do you know what I mean? Like you would hear like waves of honking as people like got the joke or whatever. That was weird.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's less laughter, more like I'm causing a traffic accident.
Yeah,
it was very strange. Yeah, it's strange. It was like, because the Brea Improv is in a huge mall, and so it was just the top of a parking structure at a gigantic Southern California mall, you know. Wow. So it was like the fact that you could fit like 400 cars just on the tops was insane.
Yeah,
but then like the fact that the screen was like 45 feet tall or whatever, it just felt so weird. It felt so weird and so awkward. Trying out new jokes was weird. I did a show at Whitney Cummings' house randomly. It was
I saw that.
It was very strange. It was like in the middle of the pandemic. It was just like everybody just wore masks and got tested, and then we were outside the whole time, but it was for charity, and so like it was released and stuff and made money for charity, so
okay.
I felt less bad about doing it.
Yeah,
but it was like fascinating to do, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
especially in the middle, because everyone's sort of freaked out, so the people that you get at a comedy show were usually pretty interesting.
Yeah, don't care whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this was also like a celebrity house.
Yeah, right.
So it was like celebrity friends. So it was like celebrity people who don't give a fuck. It's like
famous anti-vax.
Yeah, even weirder, you know.
Yeah. These are people that don't give a fuck with a platform. Yeah, you know? Spreading it.
So, Kurt, where did you grow up? I know that's a really smooth transition, but.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, you know what? It's a natural transition. Don't you know? I have a podcast, and I often do that as well. Like, I transition, and then I call out my own segue.
Yeah.
And I think if you don't call, my new thought is, if you don't call it out, no one will ever fucking know.
It's only me that gave a fuck.
I actually have the same opinion, Kurt. Yes. And I was like wondering why the fuck Nick even said that. I was like, it honestly wasn't weird until you made it weird.
It wasn't weird. It was just like, yeah, where'd you grow up? It's a natural human question.
A conversation ended, then you brought up a new point, as conversations were.
But, you know, you always dream of your podcast being this perfect, like, river stream of conversation that never stops, you know? And then the fact that I just put a huge rock in the middle, and, well, where are you from? Yeah. So I felt
If we didn't have a rock in the middle of the stream, would we have whitewater rafting?
No. Now we're talking.
Okay. Yeah. So I would prefer to listen to a podcast that's a whitewater rafting experience than a lazy river. Right?
You're right.
Yeah. But I grew up in Jersey. I was born in Michigan. My parents got divorced when I was 2. And so I grew up in Jersey with my mom, and my dad lived in Michigan.
Okay. So were you like a summer I go with dad kind of kid?
It was like, I think maybe there was a couple summers, like when I got to be like 12 or something, where I would go like there for a month, which was always confusing to me. Like, I didn't know why there for a month.
That feels like, okay, you're old enough to kind of handle it. Like, well, it seemed like a test drive almost, like a month.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And also it was just like, and then I would always think about it where it's just like, I'm here for a month, but it's not like my dad isn't working, so it was like the majority of it was like really just me flying out to fucking Michigan to spend time with his wife and my brother. my half brother, my half sister, and that was nice. But it was also like, you know, it was just like, oh, okay, so you're just gonna work and then I'll just be here feeling like homesick.
You're just flying to be in a stranger's house for a month.
Exactly.
You're not familiar enough. It's like hanging out with your neighbor's kid, but for a month.
Yeah, but it was, I'm very close with my, because of those months, I think I'm very close with my half brother, my brother. Yeah, so I think that maybe that was a plus of it. Yeah.
Notice you didn't say dad.
Yeah.
You're like, me and my half brother really bonded. Me and my dad, let's not, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, my dad is like he's famously just a strange guy. He has 8 children from many different women. And so he is a father over and over again. But if you asked him, honestly, if you asked him, like, who are you? I don't think he would ever say a father. Do you know what I mean? Like, I really, truly don't think that that was ever, like, on his list of things to be or do.
Yeah.
It just so happened that he did it repeatedly for 60 fucking years, you know?
Wow, yeah, 60 years because of 8 kids. That's
your whole life. That's a legacy of having kids. And he's like, no, that wasn't on the to-do list at all.
Yeah, like I think my eldest sister, I could be wrong on this, but I think my eldest sister is around 60 and my youngest two sisters are 18 because they got twins right at the end.
Oh, that's such a wild gap.
A wild gap.
You visit your older sibling in a retirement home and you're going to a high school graduation for the other. Across a century, you know?
Yeah, it is really insane. And so I was like thinking about it that like he has been a dad every day for 60 years, which is
wild.
Amazing. Wild. Yeah, like he's been and when I say he's been a dad every day, meaning he's had children in his home. Do you know what I mean? Like my youngest sisters just moved down. They're back. They moved back for the summer because they're in college. So he has kids back in the house now, you know? And that's what breaks my mind about it, is that
maybe that's why he works
never
so much.
Really been interested. Yeah, exactly. He had to work that much.
Yeah, get out of there.
Just to
escape. Well,
always children at home.
Yeah.
What did he do as a job if that's not a
surgeon. So my mom was a nurse.
A surgeon
so
gets I, around, man.
Yeah, surgeon.
I don't think of a surgeon as like, yeah, I'm gonna have 8 kids.
Oh, you know? Oh no. Surgeons are like the bad boys. Surgeons are like they're the bad boys of doctors. And if doctors are already like the bad boys, you know, but the surgeons are like the airplane pilots of doctors.
He treated fatherhood like a surgery. He was just like, I'll get in, I'll get out.
Yep.
And I'm clean.
Like, and I'm done. Like, there's no long-term care here.
No.
I just take care of this specific problem, and then I send you on your way. It's exactly 100%. And I do think it's because it's like, I think a surgeon is like, it takes an additional, it's very much the energy that is required to like be a stand-up, I think, you know, where it's like, you just do it by yourself. You know, it's like just based on your skills and your hands, and it requires like a cockiness that you like think that you're like
that you should
do that.
I should.
I don't have that. I'll do 30 minutes for the rest of people. I will not touch a man's heart. You know? Don't put a man's life in my hands. You know.
Well, that's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing about stand up is you talk to some surgeons and they'll open, you know, someone's head and then they go up to you and they go, "Oh god, you're so brave for getting up there." And you're like, "What?" That happened to me with a veteran. There's a guy with like one of those veteran hats, like you'd been in a war, and he came up to me after a show and he was like, "Man, to get up there and talk about your penis, that takes some real bravery." And I was like, "You've seen combat. I don't know what you're talking about."
It is so weird that public speaking is people's like number one fear. Above sharks and snakes and everything, it's just like talking in front of other human beings. is so strange.
Your fellow man who you see every day.
Who you see every day.
I think it's people don't understand. Like all they have to do is like go through it where it goes terribly once, and they go, "Oh, I'm not dead. Like nothing bad happened."
Right.
And then you're fine.
Yeah. And then you're fine.
And we, you know, you bomb all the time, and you go, "Oh, you know, I feel bad, but I, you know, I'm okay."
Yeah.
Unlike
your dad's job, he fucks up. He does kill
someone. Yeah.
Like, there is a literal, it's a pretty big deal.
That's true. But so my dad was like, you know, this surgeon guy. And then my mom was just was a nurse. She was a pediatric nurse.
Okay.
So it was like I had this very weird childhood of like growing up on the Jersey Shore with my mom where we didn't have a lot of money. And then I would go visit my dad who had a ton of money. And so it was like this weird kind of like... And I think that there was that bred resentment in me as well, you know, because I would go and I'd be like, "Why isn't anybody clipping coupons, huh? You guys are rich."
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because my mom would clip coupons. We would just go with like 100 coupons and then just like I would hunt for all the stuff. But now, like, I don't clip coupons now. Does anybody? I mean, do coupons exist? I guess they do.
I think they do. We've just accepted that we're screwed more often. How much it costs? All right, man, whatever. I got to stay inside for a year because of COVID. Yeah, sure. Like, it's just the life sucks more. So I'm just like, okay. It's going to cost $10.
Did I had a question. So did you? Were you like a troublesome kid? Because I always relate Jersey Shore with like the muscle dudes and the like steroids and stuff. But you don't seem like you were that kind of kid. You were clipping coupons with your mom.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Exactly. What you have to remember too is like all those people from Jersey Shore are not from Jersey Shore. They were summering, so they are coming from New York and Long Island.
All those people
are from Long Island and New York and Staten Island, mostly Staten Island, which is the butthole of all.
Yeah.
And so it's like literally the worst people from that area coming down to New Jersey to shit on it.
That's terrible because I always related like that's it. That's the whole place.
I think of the Sopranos when I think of New Jersey.
Oh, right. There you go.
And so that's Northern Jersey. And then I grew up in Central Jersey near the ocean, not on the ocean. But there, and there's really different like, and then in Southern Jersey, it's very straight. Like there's the biggest national park on the East Coast is in Southern New Jersey. It's called the Pine Barrens. Wow. Nobody knows about it.
Nope.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's like this huge place. So yeah, Jersey is multifaceted, the Garden State.
Huh. Yeah, it's so weird that it's just known as like the hacky, like, it's dirty and shitty over there. But like you said, there's all these different types of facets in it, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, it is crowded. It is like, I think the most densely populated state in the union, at least when I was growing up.
You're just ripping New Jersey facts right now. Yeah, you're blowing my
Jersey
mind.
A tour guide?
Jersey pride. Jersey pride, baby.
But I can't even imagine you saying Jersey pride.
I know,
baby.
Right?
Like, Jersey pride is like Jersey pride, baby. And it's like smashing someone's skull in because he insulted Italy, a country he's never been to. But like, Jersey pride, baby. Like, that doesn't feel right to me. You know?
Well, this is a reality. That's the fiction. All right.
Yeah, I know. You need to set this straight. There needs to be like a Sopranos style show, but it's just about like a normal ginger man who lives in New Jersey.
Yeah.
He's just guy's like an office job, you know, loves his children. Just.
And I love New Jersey.
Yeah. And he's like, that's good. I go to the park here. And wasn't there a park called Action Park or something where a bunch of people died?
Oh, yeah. I went to Action Park a lot as a child.
Oh, wow.
It was totally insane. It was crazy. It was like when I watched the movie, I almost feel like the movie doesn't express how insane it was to actually go there. Like it had a loop-de-loop water slide that wasn't made by engineers. It was just made by the guy.
High on cocaine.
Yeah, high on cocaine. People died there all the time.
Yeah, there's no podcast about it. It just sounds like it was like a daily occurrence almost.
Oh, I mean, I remember going, there was one slide that would go, it was a tube, and it would go underground, and then you would shoot out of a hillside into freezing water that had just like come down, melt water. So it was like 38 degrees. It was so cold. And you would shoot out in the air like 25 feet above this water. And the way it was designed, it just made like a hard turn underground. So you're in pitch darkness. And every time, and I was a kid, so I don't weigh that much, but your head slams against the bottom. And so you're like shocked a little bit. Like you're like fuzzy. And then you shoot out in the air and then you hit like this 38 degree water, and it's like you feel like you've died. It is fucking crazy.
It sounds like Guantanamo Bay.
I was gonna say,
park. You know what I mean? It comes out, and you're like, oh, I'll tell you where it is. Like, what?
And it was just like, gotta keep going. Like, you would always be like so excited to do that slide, and then afterwards, you'd be like hurt. And you're like, I don't want to do that slide again.
We got to go home. I got to sit down in the grass. I got to call my mom.
Yeah. Our head's bleeding. Like, today was a great day.
So, would you say, Kurt, because you're kind of a new dad.
Yeah.
So, did you learn anything from your dad to, like, bring it over to you being a dad?
I'm just trying not to get divorced. I think that's the main
goal of every modern father. You're like, the kids are easy. Let me tell you.
No, I mean, like, I think my brother would agree with this too. Like, because we were raised the way we were with dad's example, I think our like goal in life is to not get divorced. for kids' sake. But also I love my wife. I don't want to get her divorced, but even before I was married, that's the one thing I knew I was going to do was like not get divorced. But who knows, you know, and that's not to blame anyone who gets divorced in any way, shape or form.
No, right. No, but it's always like,
It is unenjoyable. As from a broken home, you're like, not the greatest. Yeah. Not the best. Would not love a redo.
And it's always the, like, my dad's, it's always his, like, biggest, fuck up is a word, but that's always the thing that, like, you make your whole life about not doing. And I feel like that's why I don't confront people a lot, because my dad was a screamer. He would just yell about anything that would happen. So me going through my life, I was like, I'm never ever going to yell at anybody, even if they do terrible things to me. Like, I'll never confront anybody. So I'm always interested in what people learn through, like, dads and stuff, and how that makes your whole life that forms your whole path. It's not very
funny, but it is very interesting that it's usually not what they are trying to teach you, but what you learned from the way they act.
That is a really great point, actually.
I think another thing that I do, I'm like a very active dad, and I think I am that way because of the fact that, like, my dad is not an active dad, you know. I think in his older age he's starting to get a little bit better. But yeah, just like, you know, as I said, it was just like, it was a dad for so long, but you kind of would be like, it's like, well, I love to operate on people, you know, like,
that's his thing. It's, and also if I heard my surgeon had 8 kids from, like, a bunch of different people and was like, I want my surgeon to be a good dad with, like, a golden retriever and, like, you know, a family that loves him. But if he's like, I'm out here smashing, it's crazy out here, man. Anyway, let's get you under.
Yeah, if I hear you have 8 kids, I'm like, we've already made 6 mistakes. Yeah. I don't want to be the other one.
And also, you know, that his generation was also, like, I think the first to be like, fuck it, divorces, do them. Let's get into it.
We're shedding it. Do whatever. Have one. Yeah. Buy one, get one free on divorce.
Yeah, exactly. I think their parents were like, no one gets divorced.
Exactly.
And then they saw, like, their parents, maybe they were like, they should have gotten divorced. They were miserable, and they made us miserable. So I'm just going to get a fucking divorce whenever I want.
She's like, did you go to the store today? You're like, I got a lawyer, and you're just fucking get out of there.
Yeah, so it's just that fucking pendulum that swings back and forth, you know?
But, I mean, my parents are still together. And I'm a little bit of that. I'm a little bit of, like, maybe they should have got a divorce, because, like, I don't know. Maybe, but they're still together now.
Here's a question, though. At what age would you have been cool with them getting a divorce?
That's the tricky part, is when I was like,
my parents split up elementary school, and I thought they were so the whole situation was so bad. I was like, yeah, of course. I was just like, I don't even think you guys as, like, parents. It's like, these are just two roommates. We need to leave each other alone. These are two adults who need to go about their lives. And they're like, I don't want to be with your mom anymore. It's like, yeah, we don't want to be with you, dude. We're trying to break up with – talk about, like, it's because it does reach a point where it's so blaringly obvious where this is just
– that's crazy that even a kid – kid is like, I'm trying to color in here.
It's like, it's like, family. This is crazy.
So you've
been living on the couch.
So after the divorce, did you feel like your life improved?
Well, I mean, it's a whole deeper thing, but my dad was kind of crazy. So it wasn't like a traditional, like, they were separated for 8 years, but everyone was so broke. They didn't get divorced till, like, legally 9 years later. Cause it's like, all they had to split was, like, an EBT card. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, if the answer is yes. Yes,
you felt like it was like,
I felt like life was a lot better. Because it was a lot of if you're in a situation where there's just a shit ton of drama in your house, and then there's less, even if whatever, you go to your other parent's house every now and then, that's always better.
Right.
That's always better. Because it's like it's just a fake thing at that point, you know, and little kids can see through that.
Exactly. And it's just like anytime, and I notice it too with my 4-year-old, like, anything that is outside of the norm of what she is used to causes her so much distress, which is, it's so weird. And it also would be, if we were fighting all of the time, that would be a thing that's always like kind of like causing stress.
Absolutely. Yeah, like kids are, they got a high emotional intelligence. They're not dumb if they're just, misery all around. And plus my dad was just, he's a goober. He was real dumb. He would just be walking around. He's just like, I think, because he's just like an oversharer. So he'd just be like, I don't think your mom's my soul, you're my soulmate. I'd be like, okay, I'm 11, so I don't really know how to, really deal with this. Or he was playing around. He's like, wouldn't it be cool if I had my own apartment? I'd be like, yeah, it's cool if you live there forever. Never talk to me again. So it's just, I think once the household's so toxic that like any, even if it's dramatic change, any change would be better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I think it goes back and forth. I do think and that's why, because like I'm backtracking now on my thing of like, I don't want to get divorced. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying I want to get divorced. It's so weird.
It's a good aim if it's not 100% necessary.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like not just to go, not having four. Do you know what I mean? Like four seems to be like.
Four seems like a choice. I do feel like.
Four seems like a choice. Do you know what I mean?
Because it's like, you don't have to marry everybody right away. No. Not everyone's a marriage, you know? You can just play it out.
There's no playing it out.
Yeah. I think that point, at the fourth one, you're just like, I just want to have another party. Like, can we just get all my pals together?
Well, at the fourth one, we have to agree that, like, it is you. It's just, like, from you democracy, it is four people have decided that they can't live with you anymore. To the point where they
He's still with the fourth. Okay. That was the success. This one, that one has worked.
So how long is the fourth one then?
Oh, 20 years.
Oh, okay. that's a good run.
Yeah, pretty good run, right?
Yeah.
Still going.
Just right past your childhood, though. But that was the open mic age, you know?
But also at that same time, like he, you know, he got married when he was 20, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I can't imagine that.
My brain would explode if you threw a kid and a wife in my head right now.
I got married when I was 38, 39?
Okay, that's what I'm going to tell my mom.
Yeah.
Tell my mom.
I can handle that. Yeah. I know it won't happen for me at that age. Like, it'll just accidentally happen earlier, but I'm aiming for that. That seems better.
Oh, my God. That gave me goosebumps when you said that. Kenyon getting married is, oh, my God.
You know that you're going to get married before that?
I just feel it. As like instinctual, the same way like you could feel rain coming. I feel like there's gonna be an incident where she's like, I'm keeping the kid, and I'm like, all right, this is it. Here we go. This is what we're doing.
No, I mean, I guess I felt that way always about having kids. I was always just like, yeah, I want to be a dad. I've always instinctually felt that, but I still waited till I was 41 to do it.
Smart.
You want to be in a stable place. I know. Yeah. I feel like everyone I know from high school, it's like, he doesn't have it together. He's insane. He should be in prison. They're always on the Facebook post like, just had my third kid. Stephanie. And you're like, why? Why did the most confidence to be just chucking children down the earth?
They always tried to scam you before. They're like, buy my Cutco knives. And then they're like, here's my third kid. Good.
Yeah, Doug Stanhope has that amazing joke about I think he's talking about Detroit auto workers, where it's like he says something about one of them got laid off, and then he's interviewed on the news saying like, yeah, well, what are me and my four kids gonna do? And he's like, hold on a second. You have four kids? Yeah. That's essentially like saying, well, what are me and my four Ferraris gonna do? Why did you continue to buy Ferraris when you were gonna get laid off?
That's such a funny good point.
Also is just bringing it back to what we were talking about before. To have four kids is basically just a marriage challenge. Like, you're done.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a family. Let me just challenge this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother has four kids. He has four kids. And they seem like they're just like, it is so weird where it's just like, it is a, I think it's a genetic thing where you're just like, I want to do this and I like it. I got snipped right after the second one. I got a vasectomy. I cannot have children anymore. Couldn't be happier
about
that.
Smart move. They call it too.
how, what was the time between
2 months after he was born?
So you're like, never again, never again.
You're just lying awake like, oh my god, set the appointment, I'm gonna call right now.
The doctor probably asked, are you sure, and he just shows him a video. He's crying for 16 hours. It's like, oh, I'm fucking sure.
I got
one more question for you, Kurt, and then we'll wrap it up. But what is, because I want to know from a new dad, like, what was the most rewarding experience you've had from being a dad, and the opposite of that, the most like, oh boy, here we go kind of moment?
The most rewarding experience?
I know that's most, that's like, kind of on the spot.
Rewarding. No, not at all. I mean, like, the most rewarding is happens, like, it happens often. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, just like being with them when they have a moment where they're not either trying to kill each other or themselves. And like, they just like snuggle in and you have that, like, that peaceful moment with them. Like, that is, and that happens pretty often.
Yeah.
And anytime when my daughter told me her first joke, that was pretty great. The joke was, why is 6 afraid of 7? And I said, why? And she said, because 7, 8, 9 are trying to eat them. it's just pretty great. And then, yeah, so that's, and then the flip side of it is, it's just the amount of like stress and tiredness that I am all the time. And I feel like that will go away, you know, like that will go away as they get older and can take care of themselves. And so, yeah, the only downside of it is that it's like, you know, I have no life and I'm broken all the time. But I feel like that will go away. I'll have no life and I'll be broken. But then once that goes away, I'll probably miss this time, you know?
Exactly.
I'll have been so broken and have not had a life for so long that I won't get my life back and I'll be a broken person. So I'm really just on the way down.
PSA, you know? About not having kids.
And then they'll be 16 and then they'll complain about how their life sucks. And then you gotta listen to that.
I have to figure out what I'm doing wrong. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Then I have to fucking get 80. I can hope I make it to 80 and listen to my daughter do a fucking podcast called I Fuck You, Dad. And then like complain, just like, one thing I learned from my dad is get divorced. Yeah. Whatever you want to, just get out of there.
Well, Kurt, you have an amazing podcast called Bananas. I'm a huge fan, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It's incredible. So listen to that. I know that's your plug, but then I was going to ask if you wanted to plug anything else before we head out.
No, I mean, I'll be in Lafayette and Houston and Bryant, Texas in August 6th, 7th, and 8th. And
Texas
then
is going wild. Everyone's going to Texas.
Yeah, because they don't give a shit. and then I've got another show in L.A. on August 11th, running my hour. And yeah, that's it.
Hell yeah, Kurt. Well, thank you so much for coming in. That was so much fun.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You, Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it. And keep listening. Thank you so much.